All right, let's go on to this question six, which is Gideon Ninjo. And it's not a very hard thing to explain. What I would just say, so Gideon refers to the sense of social obligation, which every individual is supposed to learn and practice as a member of society. So Gideon refers to the sense of social obligation, which every individual is supposed to learn and practice as a member of society. Ninjo refers to the natural human feelings that people are assumed to have from birth. These feelings include love, joy, happiness, anger, sadness, jealousy, and so forth. So, in situations, people then have giddy because they need to pay somebody a favor because of the social obligation. And then sometimes for ninjo, people like to just do things nice for people. So, anyway, these are types of things that you could say. So, what is your definition? What do you have to say about what is giddy and ninjo?
Giddy refers to the sense of social obligation, which every individual is supposed to learn and practice as a member of society. For example, Japanese people send New Year's card to their relatives, friends, or customers, even though they haven't actually seen each other for a long time. They have to stop sending it. Maybe it comes from the sense of giddy. And whereas ninjo refers to the natural feelings which people have from birth, such as love, sympathy, sorrow, anger.
Okay. All right, good. Interesting about the New Year's cards. It's the same for Christmas cards. Even though you don't see people, you know they're still living if they have a Christmas card comes. Right? You know, so you don't hear from them for once a year and say, oh, mari kiteru, you know, because you get the Christmas card once a year. Same thing, ningajo kind of thing. Which is, I shouldn't laugh, it's nice that you get it, but yeah, and Christmas cards also in America have the same type of giddy. I have to send because they sent me, I need to send them, you know. Okay, good.
In America, you have giddy.
Oh, yeah, giddy and ninjo is not Japanese. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the world has these things, of course. Because giddy is not just Japanese, because in America you wouldn't have, or any place in Europe or other countries, you have to have social manners and politeness. You have to think of people's feelings. Well, that's tate maihone, but giddy also, you have to think, oh, well, if they did this, then I really don't want to go, but they were nice to me, so I should, you know, go and do this for them. So it's not something, all of these, giri, you know, tate maihone and giri ninjo are not just Japanese. It's just Japanese have a different approach than maybe some other countries, but or the degree is different. Okay? All right. What is giri and ninjo?
Giri is a social obligation or kind of royalty.
Loyalty.
Royalty.
Can you say what the L sound? Loyalty.
Loyalty. Loyal.
Yeah, be careful, not royalty. Royal becomes noble, like king and queen. The loyalty.
Loyalty.
Yeah.
We supposed to learn and practice as a member of a society. And when I hear the word giddy, I think of the return gift. And people give money to weddings. People give money at wedding ceremonies or funerals, where the receiver have to return gifts. And then ninjo is natural human feelings of love, sympathy, joy, and anger. and everyone's supposed to have from birth. And for example, when the big earthquakes occurred in some area, mm-hmm.
When big earthquakes occurred, yeah, okay.
In somewhere, uh-huh. People feel very sad, and they think they want to do something, and it's an angel.
Yeah, that's ninja, helping others, volunteering, supporting, just because you want to, not because it's obligation. It's like the feeling of wanting to help. Okay, good. What do you have for Gideon Ninja? What is your explanation?
Giri is a social obligation. One must learn in the society. And ninja is one's natural property.
One's natural... What do you say now? One's natural feelings.
One's natural feeling. So since we were born, we have ninja naturally. And that person who is very deep in both will be liked by everybody. Girigatai. And ninja bukai, deep in ninja. And we Japanese people, for example, send giri choco on Valentine's Day. So if we don't like the person through the heart, to think of other person's feeling, we send chocolate on Valentine's Day to our bosses or our juniors.
Okay, yeah, giri choco is used very commonly, but I think one of the big differences, I think, in Japan is what's the difference between osebo and Christmas gifts?
Those are also giri, from giri.
Yeah, so to me, osebo is giri, but Christmas gifts is ninjo because it's fun, right? Okuragitai, it's fun to give you. Let me give you this kind of thing. But seibo is, it's my mother-in-law, dagara I have to buy. It's not that, let's see what they want. I have to buy something. Where Christmas gifts in Japan, now, in America there's no seibo, but Christmas gifts also have a giri kind of thing too. But,
I was thinking American people live only with the honne.
No. Not at all. No. I've only entered my number 8. But no. Giri Ninjo, this is not something unique to Japan. It's just the degree and the approach is a little different. But, everyone in the world has feelings of joy and happiness and sad, and they cry and they laugh. So that's just, everybody does that, right? But Ninjo is depending on, what you do for social obligations. That's all. And that's something that you have to know how to behave in society. Okay, so what is giri and ninjo?
Giri refers to the sense of social obligation, which everyone is supposed to learn and practice as a member of a society. And when I live in the countryside, I always receive the gift from the neighbors, like fresh vegetables or souvenirs, and I always have to return the gifts because I feel bad when I just receiving the gifts. Mm. That is comes from the giri, I think. Mm-hmm. And the ninjo is the natural human feelings, and such as love, sympathy, sorrow, and anger. And those two emotions are especially important in the Edo period. And the people think that important to make a relationship with others.
Yeah, okay, they need to do that. Yeah, the thing is, in talking about this is the degree. The Japanese love for okaishi, right? That's very typical. That's very Japanese. It's the extent. You do more than Americans do. You know, once you give something, like if it's a wedding gift, then you sugu okaishi. If you go to the hospital for visiting, sugu okaishi, you have to give something back. If you give a baby gift, you get okaishi. But, you know, in America, no, they don't give okaishi. But if you give a baby gift to somebody, then they will give to you when you have a baby. It just stops at one gift each, give and take. But Japanese have the next step, which is the okaishi. That's all. But in America, if you give a baby gift used for the newborn baby, then the other people will give you a gift, usually. It should give, if they're, you know, correct and have good manners. So that's what I mean. The degree is different, but the same thing is there. They gave you a gift, and I have to give you a gift. Okay?
Yes.
All right, good. What is giri and ninjo?
A dictionary says that giri is duty, and ninjo is sentiment.
Okay.
Giri is have to, an emotional commitment you cannot dishonor. Ninjo is want to, a promise you can make or break, but usually very hard to break because your heart is leaning toward it. That's my
okay. Yeah, one of the things is in Japanese literature, like not literature too, but the bundaku. One of the themes of bundaku is giri ninjo, right? What do you decide, dosho? What do you decide, right? That was one of the things the Japanese love when they see. They say, "Oh, do I decide to follow my clan or do I love this girl because she's my girlfriend?" Yeah. But she's the opposite clan. Dosho, giri or ninjo? You follow the clan. Yeah, the conflict,
between
yeah.
mind and heart.
Yeah, conflict between mind and heart. This happens in everyday modern society. Do you work overtime? Or do you go home to your child's birthday party? You have to decide. So work situations, there's a lot of giri ninjo things there. You know, oh, I finished my work, but everybody's still working. Ja kairenai, bo kairitai. You know, do I stay because everybody else does? You know, or do I just go home? So you always is giri ninjo. In America, if you're finished work, you go home. So then again, the degree is if, you know, you don't just stay and work because everybody else is working. You finish, you go home. So there's not so much giri ninjo. But there are cases, you know, also in America, about you planned a family vacation, now you have to work. Do you go on vacation? Do you work? So there are conflicts, too, in every society, I think. Okay, let's go on then to the next question, which is also difficult. It's Wabi and Sabi, and they have lots of difficult words in here. So, Wabi refers to the aesthetic of refined rusticity. I don't know what that means, but probably Wabi refers to a feeling of, you know, loneliness and a sense of a rustic sense. So Wabi refers to a feeling of loneliness and a rustic sense and simplicity. Where Sabi refers to elegant serenity and the beauty of age, the beauty that comes with age. Then Wabi and Sabi are the highest aesthetic qualities valued in traditional Japanese arts.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Can I say Wabi has Wabi is a beauty with a history.
Okay, but is it Wabi that has the beauty of history, or is it Sabi?
Sabi.
Sabi. Yeah, Sabi has a beauty that comes with history or something.
With history.
Yeah. All right, let's try Wabi and Sabi again. It's very hard to explain. Usually whenever you talk about Wabi and Sabi, they're kind of thrown together, and people go, which one is which? But anyway, let's see what your answers are. But my idea is to avoid this aesthetic of refined rusticity, which is hard for me to explain, is a rustic sense, has a rustic sense, a sense of loneliness, a sense of simplicity. Where Sabi refers to a sense of the loneliness the desolation and the, you know, deserted, and the beauty that comes with age. Okay? So let's see what your answer is. What is Wabi and Sabi?
Oh, Wabi and Sabi are the Wabi and Sabi are the highest aesthetic values.
Aesthetic
values aimed at by traditional Japanese art such as tea ceremony and haiku or poem in 17 syllables. Wabi is a feeling of loneliness and rustic sense and simplicity. While Sabi is I forgot what you have said. Sabi means is having refined simplicity, which is an ideal state in the haiku by Masao Basho.
Okay, Sabi is what once more?
Sabi means having refined simplicity, which is an ideal state in the haiku by Matsuo Basho.
Okay, all right. Simply, yeah. Both. You see, that's the both of them have kind of a simplicity and a loneliness, right? That's what's hard to distinguish which one. But I think, you know, the Wabi refers to the simplicity and just, you know, the sense of a rustic sense, simplicity and a rustic sense. And simplicity means bareness. The total lack of, what should I say, not the beauty of space. So instead of putting lots of things, being very simple is like a sense of wabi. And then Sabi refers to the sense of, again, no space, but this loneliness, the feeling of loneliness, serenity. And part of it becomes with the use of age, the beauty that comes with age. Okay, now there are several examples. I haven't asked it yet. Let's just see if we can talk about them. When you think of examples, there are examples. What's Wabi and Sabi?
Wabi and Sabi are the highest aesthetic qualities valued in traditional arts, particularly the tea ceremony and haiku or short poems in 70 syllables. The two qualities are at the bottom to find beauty in perfection and simplicity.
In imperfection.
In imperfection,
yes.
And simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Wabi expresses a way of being quietly clear and calm. It was pursued by Sen no Rikyu, who perfected the art of the tea ceremony. Sabi refers to the elegant serenity and beauty that comes from age. It is an ideal state in Matsuo Basho's poems in 70 syllables.
Okay. Do you want to try for examples? No? Okay, let's give it to her, see what her answer is, and then we'll see if she has an example. I have two. What is Wabi and Sabi? Please explain.
Both Wabi and Sabi are the highest beauty in the nature, and both Wabi and Sabi are beauty in simplicity, and there are not clear difference between them, but Wabi is a feeling of loneliness and a rustic sense, and it is an ideal state of Wabi-cha. And so many tea rooms have a sense of Wabi. And Sabi is a beauty that comes with history, so it is an ideal state of Matsuo Basho's haiku. And then just, for example, I'm guessing the hot spring resource in the Tohoku region have Sami because there are rustic hot spring resorts such as New Dawn Sen in Akita Prefecture, and it has a kind of traditional Japanese style inns, and it has rusticity.
Okay, right. All right, I never thought of the hot springs, but yeah. What about in the tea ceremony? Okay, so wabi and sabi, what about the tea bowls? Alright, so the example of wabi-sabi is the tea bowl. Tea bowls are mostly not perfectly round shape. Many of them are not, it depends, but most really, the real tea masters like, excuse me, like the Hagi, Bizen, because why? None of these are symmetrical. None of these have beautiful pictures and painting. They like the simple, elegant, natural state of the glaze on the tea bowl. They don't like perfectly round shaped. They don't like a design that, is perfect around the bowl. So that's the kind of wabi. Plus the bowl is not decorated all over. It has space and there's, between the designs and between the glaze. Sabi refers to the beauty of these ancient tea bowls that people like, because when the tea bowl gets older and older, it gets more beautiful. And that's kind of the sabi effect. Okay, so tea bowls are an example of wabi and sabi. The older it gets, the more beautiful it gets. That's the sabi. And it looks kind of plain and simple. And the wabi is, it's not perfect. And it just looks very simple. Excuse me. The rock garden at Ryoanji is an example of wabi-sabi. Right? Just a simple bareness, lack of many things. There's 15 rocks and sand. And that's kind of the wabi. And then the sabi, of course, is the age, the moss, and the beauty of this old place that just looks absolutely terrific. Because it has this sense of desolation, this sense of not very much there. And even Japanese tatami rooms and old houses or temples, because, there's not much, in the old houses, for example, there's not much in a tatami room. There's the shoji and maybe the fusuma, and they're made out of wood. And as the wood gets older, it gets more beautiful looking. The natural wood ages, and that's the sabi. The simple design of the room with not much in it is, again, this wabi-sabi, where there's really like desolation and it's simple. So that's why some people say, I don't like Japanese rooms. They feel lonely. But other people, Japanese rooms are beautiful because there's not enough there. It looks beautiful because it is simple. Okay? All right, so that's kind of, like I say, they're kind of thrown together in this sense, but if you can try to explain that way. Let's go on to Honne and Tatemae. What is Honne and Tatemae?
Honne is our true confessing, and Tatemae is public opinion.
Not public opinion. Public opinion is the voices of the people. So
The faces we have in public.
The face we have to wear in public, yeah.
The face we have to wear in the public. Mm. And in private life, we tell honne. But in public places, we never tell our honne. We tell our tatemae.
Yeah, well, in public places is okay. I don't like the word in public places. So in front of people, especially in front of people we don't know, we say tatemae. So not in public. You could go to public and pick up the train and say, hey, I don't like this. You know, that's in public. So what you want to say is in front of people. Like, if you're in a meeting, you have to say certain things because you don't want to offend, you don't want to break the harmony. But hopto, you really want to say a little more, but you stop. Okay, so not in public, but in front of people.
In front of other people, we think of other people's feelings, so we never tell our true feelings honne. We talk with our tatemai.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. Just going to put it together. How about you? What is tatemai honne?
Honne means one's true feelings or thinking expressed in front of the people. And
once more.
Right? Oh, no, that's good. Honne means the one's true feelings or thinking, whereas tatemae is the face one wears in public.
Okay.
Honne may be expressed privately, whereas tatemae is expressed in front of people we don't know well.
Yes. Okay, see what I put here is like, you know, tatemae is something we say in front of people we don't know. Where honne is our true feelings we say in front of people we are close with, like family and friends or maybe a neighbor or somebody. Right? Okay, I think that works. You all understand, I think this is not difficult. Okay, and again, this is not something only found in Japan. Every society has things. You cannot say everything you want to think or they'd be fighting all the time. Right? Every place there'd be kinka, right? Because if you did that, not just in Japan, but everywhere. Okay, what is tatemae honne?
Tatemae means an opinion designed for social acceptance. And honne means one's true feelings. In the Japanese vertical society, order is maintained by tatemae and honne. This is considered necessary for keeping social harmony.
Hmm.
And this tendency is still existing.
Yeah, okay. Good. What do you think of my maneki neko tai?
Huh?
Huh? What do you think of my maneki neko tai?
It's very interesting.
Ah, so she doesn't like it? No? You like it?
I like it, yes. Cute.
Cute, okay. Oto? Tatemae or honne?
It's honne.
Honne, okay.
I don't use tatemae.
Oh, you don't use tatemae.
I'm not big enough to use tatemae.
Oh, okay.
Always frank.
Always frank, okay. Yeah, these are examples of people tatemae honne, even in America. Say, oh, what do you like of my pink hair? But when in America, though, people, when they say, oh, it's interesting, means they can't say it looks terrible. When you said interesting,
no,
yeah, that's okay. But that's it. She used that. But that's the word most people use. Like, what do you think of my you know, necktie? Oh, it's interesting. Ah, it's kind of strange. They think it's strange. What do you think of these cookies? Thank you. What do you think of these cookies? I made them. And you'd eat it and go, oh, it has an interesting taste. Right. Anyway, so people use this all the time in America too. You can't say, oh, it's bazi. You can't say that, right? You have, oh, it's interesting taste. Oh, it has nuts in it. Oh, it's chocolate, something like that. So you're not being impolite. Good. What is tatemae honne?
Honne is honest feelings, while tatemae is expression to keep harmony within the small communities. People are always afraid what they say might hurt other people or destroy the atmosphere. So in these cases, they avoid to express their honest opinion. People in Japan had to live peacefully and harmoniously together in the small communities from ancient times. Because rice farming in the flooded party enforced people to always cooperate and keep harmony in any situation.
Okay, right. So in Japan, this, you know, works very well. They, you know, that as I said, you have words that express something. My whole in America or English, we don't have like one's true feelings or one's, you know, feelings you express in front of others. So again, we don't have one word to explain this, but the outcome, the result is the same. There is this feeling, but in Japan it was built upon what the rice society and everybody helping each other and keeping harmony. So, but when you really want to talk, you talk to your friends or relatives about what's bothering you or what you don't like. Good. Okay, let's go on to otaku.
Otaku.
All right, and this answer here is quite long. I think it's an interesting answer, but let's see what you have to say. Just one part of this answer, it's in the model answer on the fourth line. It says, kind of towards the right, it says, without reference to other people. And that sounds very strange. I don't know what they mean by without reference to other people, but I would say without dealing with other people or without associating with other people. It sounds a little more clear if you want to say this as part of your answer. Okay, so what is otaku?
Otaku basically means the house or you. Mm-hmm. But this word was frequently used between people who are interested in anime, manga, or video games very much. Mm-hmm. When they call each other, they use the word otaku when they call each other. Mm. For example, and then the word began to mean negative and express those people who are poor at communicating with the others. Because?
Yeah, they're poor to communicate with each other because they only concentrate on their hobbies.
Because they can communicate only on the virtual world.
No? Oh, okay. All right. So they can only communicate in the virtual world. If they're anime person or manga person, yes, right, okay. But the idea is people become so concentrated in their hobbies, become obsessed with their hobbies. That's all they know is their hobbies, and they don't know how to act normally in society or don't want to deal with other people. Okay?
Okay. So the word began to be negative and express those people who are poor at communicating with others, because they lose themselves in hobbies.
Mm, yes, in their hobbies.
In their hobbies.
Good, yes, they lose themselves in their hobbies. Good.
But at present, it still keeps this negative meaning, but it is also used as meaning of a freak or enthusiast, such as railroad otaku or fitness otaku.
Mm. Okay, good. Freak is really someone who's strange. There's also other words in English. What they have here is what? A geek? Some people use the word geek, G-E-E-K. Then there's nerd, N-E-R-D. These were people who only knew everything about computers. That's all they did was computers. Or a nerd is somebody who studies all the time. So someone who's, what do you say, gariben? Is a nerd. Someone they study. They don't want to go drinking. They don't want to go to the mountains. They just want to study. So geeks and nerds are like study people or people who only are into computers. But now again, it means someone who is not very social. So who doesn't have a lot of social skills. Okay. Now, what I think some of this otaku is almost like someone who's crazy about. So someone's crazy about railroads, someone's crazy about fitness, someone's crazy about ramen, someone's, you know, like on the Terebi Champion TV show, they would have the ramen, the person could tell by smelling the ramen, they knew what Brahmin shop it came from throughout Japan. Someone who's really, really expert at something, who's crazy about something. And in that sense, they're very expert. So even though they might not be, they might still be have good social skills, but they're also very expert in something. Okay, so that's my idea. There's some of the also thing is someone who's like kind of a maniac, you know. So baking maniac is someone who loves to bake cookies or something, right? Or collect, you know, old watches or something. Anyway, what's otaku?
Otaku means people who are concentrating on their hobbies, especially on manga or personal computers. And because they are not interested in people, they don't associate with other people. And today the world also being the people who are crazy about their hobbies. I mean, any kinds of hobbies such as railroad, travel, music, and that also they can communicate with other people.
Mm. Right, exactly. Good. Okay, once more, what is otaku?
Otaku means people who are a maniac in certain area.
In certain, medium in certain area. I would say in certain things.
In certain things. They are usually not good at socializing with other people. So they lose themselves in their hobbies, like railroad or collecting things. Mm-hmm. And otaku usually goes, otaku are not outgoing people. They are inward.
Inward?
Inward people. Mm-hmm. And otaku is considered some freak.
It's considered to be a freak.
To be a freak. So, not a good image.
So, and they don't have a good image.
They don't have a good image.
Uh-huh.
And in other world, outside of Japan, otaku means the people who has interest in Japanese culture.
Hmm. Okay, right, that's another word, right. Yeah, just it originally, some people are not, you know, good at communicating. They're not, they don't have good social skills. But nowadays, otaku also has kind of just a meaning of someone who's an expert in, you know, collecting things or expert in certain things. So it's not always negative. It's kind of people laugh at, like when someone talks about some very specific trivial information, oh, otaku, because you're just like crazy about this. Okay, good. Okay, I think we're okay with this. Is that all right? Let's go on to the next question, which is, why and how have manga and anime become so popular throughout the world? And the first line says, Japanese manga and anime have attracted a great deal of attention because of their storytelling, because of their story content. It's like storytelling is how you tell the story. Storytelling does not mean the content of the story. So because of their storytelling, because of their story content, and because of their cute and adorable characters. So if you don't like adorable, you can say just cute characters, but adorable is more cuddly, warm, stronger sense of being cute. Okay, so that's how something I would put in there. And that's why they're so popular. Even though I don't know what Pokemon is, or I don't know Doraemon very much, looking at them, I think they're really, really cute. So even if you don't know anything about the story, just look at the characters. Oh, it's so cute. Okay, so why do manga and anime become... Why have manga and anime become so popular?
Sorry, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you say freak or geek, that means some, that includes some negative sense.
It has a negative sense. Freak is negative, nerd is negative, geek is negative.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of has a meaning, but also it has, you know, someone who's really expert or a professional. Then those are nicer terms. So otaku can be used for both, depending if you want to be negative or if you want to be positive.
Okay?
Okay.
Japanese manga and anime has good stories and beautiful artwork. And some of Japanese anime, such as Astro Boy, Dragon Ball, Doraemon, and others, have been already telecast throughout the world. And after the Miyazaki Hayao got the prize in the film festival, I think the Japanese animation has been spread around the world.
Okay. Has spread further around the world. Yeah. Okay. Good. And let's ask her, why are manga and anime so popular throughout the world?
Japanese manga and anime have attracted a great deal of attention because of their storytelling, story content, and their cute, adorable pictures, and also their high quality of artwork.
Mm-hmm. Okay, pictures or characters?
Characters. I said characters, adorable characters.
Yeah, I thought you had pictures. But anyway,
just
characters. Yeah, maybe. But anyway, characters, good. Okay, why are manga and anime so popular throughout the world?
Japanese manga and anime attracted a great deal of attention in the world. There are many reasons for this. The main reasons are that the contents of the stories are fresh and universal, and they have cute and adorable characters. Many foreigners feel that Japanese manga and anime are just like movies. The base of manga and anime were founded by Tezuka-san, writing many mangas such as Astro Boy, Kim the White Lion, and many other mangas and animes. After Tezuka-san, Miyazaki Hayao produced many famous animes such as Spirited Away, which are accepted by many people in the world. Which was well received.
Right. Isn't that the
many people in the world.
Yeah, that's the one that won the Academy Award, right?
Spirited Away, yes.
Yeah, so then you can say it was well received by the people, was won an Academy Award.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, I think we're okay with why manga are popular. Let's tell me what is origami. This is not very difficult, so just what is origami?
Origami is a traditional amusement of holding colorful square papers without using paste or scissors to shape things such as animals, birds, or flowers. Among them, the shape of the clam is most popular because there is a custom to fold
a thousand cranes
to in order to give a sick person with hope that one will get well.
hope that recovery
soon.
Hope that they will, that the person will recover soon.
Hope that they will recover soon.
Yeah, okay. Sick persons will recover soon.
Sick persons will recover soon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right. What is origami?
Origami is the art of folding square colored paper into various shapes. And the shapes include flowers, boxes, samurai helmets, and the piano. And they are made without using scissors or paste. And how to fold paper has been passed down from mothers to children until present day.
Until the present day.
The present day.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. What is origami?
Origami is a Japanese traditional folding paper art into many shapes such as animals, birds, and or flowers. They are made with a piece of square colored paper without using scissors or glue. You can learn how to make origami, how to fold it through the internet, or many books are sold. So you can do it very easy.
Okay, so just simply, you can learn how to fold origami from the internet and books.
You can learn how to do origami through the internet or books.
Yeah, so yeah, you don't have to, the books are sold. The grammar becomes all mixed up, just very simple. Okay. All right, I think we're okay. Let's go on to the last question today, which is, why do Japanese like small things? To me, this is kind of the result of why Japanese like small things, but let's see what your answer is. Why do Japanese like small things?
It is because originally Japanese people are handy and love to make such small items, like bonsai, a small potted, which is a small potted tree, and hakoniwa, a garden in a small box. And Japanese people admire anything that shows fine, delicate workmanship. And these days, this talent was applied for the developing new lithium battery for an electric car. And the former battery was too large to use, but Japanese people succeeded to make it smaller.
Okay. All right, what's your answer? Why do Japanese like small things?
Because Japanese are very skillful in using fingers and hands, and we do appreciate anything that shows fine and delicate workmanship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why do Japanese like small things?
In Japan, the land of living and farming is limited. Therefore, houses and the gardens are narrow, and everything in the houses have been made small to meet the size of the houses. Because we are clever with our hands, we could produce such small things. This character is very useful in the world market, such as digital camera, watch, and compact car.
Okay, digital cameras, watches.
Digital cameras, watches, and compact cars.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. That to me is getting closer to the answer, right? Why do Japanese like small things?
It is said that Japanese word utsukushi or beautiful originally included the meaning of small. And in the Heian period, a woman writer named Seisho Nagon, who wrote the Pure Books, said every small thing is utsukushi. She loved and admired small things. So I think Japanese people tend to love and admire small things from ancient times. In addition, I think Japanese people believe that even though in small things, God lives.
God lives, okay. God exists, so God lives.
God
okay.
exists, so Japanese people tend to care of them or love.
Okay. Could you, let me, I'm sorry, go back to your, what part of your answer, there was something with the grammar I wanted to fix and I didn't. What was that?
The latter half or?
The first part.
Oh, okay. In Japan, the land for living and farming is limited.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, houses and the gardens are narrow.
Ah, that's it, narrow. Probably I would say small.
A small?
Yeah.
Okay.
To make it match the answer, that's it. Okay, let's try one more time. Why do Japanese like small things?
Basically, it is because Japanese people are good at hands and they can make tiny, delicate products so well. And some examples are bonsai, small pretty trees in a small pot, and a rock garden. And both of which represent huge nature in a small space.
Okay, Japanese are good at hands. What did you say? Good at hands. Good at using their hands. Okay, to me, yes, they're good at using their hands, but I think Japan is a small and mountainous country with very little land and a large population. So out of necessity, Japanese have to love small things like houses and utensils and such. Therefore, Japanese have developed good skills with their hands. And they like fine and detailed things. Okay? So making miniature gardens or miniature trees like bonsai fits into Japanese living style and houses. So the appreciation for small things came as a result of the topography of Japan. If you think about America, which is a large country, or Canada, or even China, there's something about this, you know, continental mentality versus smaller island country with lots of mountains and not much room for living. You need, out of necessity, to make things small. And Japan developed a very good sense of this and what to do. Okay? That's kind of, like I said, some of this is a result of out of necessity. And, you know, just something even, the appreciation of small things even goes to food. Right? Kaiseki ryori and stuff is very beautiful to look at, sushi and everything. But they're not big portions like in a lot of countries that, you know, have lots of land and things, you know, a lot of things bigger people like. Okay, today I guess we've covered the questions and it's time to go. Do you have any questions about today? Anything you want me to check or you're not sure? Sure.
Wabi, sabi come to wabishi and sabishi.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Wabishi and sabishi comes from.
So, sabi, I am becomes old with sabika, sabi. I don't know English word. Sabi comes out. Rust.
Yeah, rust, I guess, is also the word.
So
I don't know if it's the same.
That rust.
I don't know. Sabi. Is the kanji the same?
No,
it's completely different. It could be because of the sound. I don't know. I always think of sabi like rusty or something, but that's probably out of old age. It could. Well, have that. But I know the kanji, that I, from my understanding too, is not the same. So, you know. Okay, anything else?
May I ask your opinion? What do you think about young girls? What do you think about young girls making up on the public train?
Making up their, like, makeup?
Makeup.
Oh, okay.
On the train.
Well, you know, I don't put on makeup, so I shouldn't really say, but I don't think it looks very nice.
Not only it looks. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it looks really nice, but I think what it is lack of planning.
That's all?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with etiquette?
Well, etiquette too. Because why? Because in America, people put makeup in the car.
Yeah.
We don't ride trains to work, but you see next door with the traffic light, the girls are putting on makeup in the car, and so in the back of Mira, they're looking in the back of Mira to see how to put on makeup. So, you know, I think, yes, it's probably not good manners, but people do it out of, you know, necessity. But they should plan better to put makeup before they get on the train. But you do really dislike it, or do you do it?
No, I don't.
No, I'm sure you probably wouldn't do it. She looks really probably planned ahead, yeah. But yeah, there's people who do things in public. I've seen people who cut their nails in public. At the office, they took out the nail cutter, and I thought, that's kind of strange at work. But, you know, people do strange things. But in other cultures, these things are very open. An example is India. You know, barbers are on the street. They're right on the sidewalk cutting people's hair and doing their nails and shaving and things. So things like this are more open. Where in Japan or in America and other, you know, Europe, you know, barber shops are inside. But in India, I'm sure they have the same thing. But many, also the cheaper ones, they're just right on the street. They do things that, you know, people wouldn't do outside. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yesterday, so.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I got
it. Strong sensei, thank you for your kind, informative, and pleasant 11 lessons.
Oh, well, that's beautiful. Thank you. Wow, I got flowers. Well, you have to pass now.
Okay. Please, when you go home, cut the stem at the end of the stem a little bit and just put it in the water.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Good. Thank you very much. That's nice. I don't know Ikebana, so I'll just have to put it. I have a nice vase, though. So I'll put it in a vase. Thank you very much. So anyway, I do want to wish you good luck on the test. And we will have a Tokun 3 class in a few more weeks. There'll be information about that, and hopefully I'll see you then. But I do want you to pass the test. I don't want to see you next year. Even though I like you and have fun, it's always nice to see students pass. So good luck and study hard and enjoy the summer. Okay? Thank you. Thank you very much.